and teacher that Ephesians 4 tells us. So we are in the times of not only being restored, being brought out from, being brought back unto the headship of Jesus Christ, but also in this time of restoration, we are finding that God is restoring the gifts to the church. Because the gifts to the church is what makes the church supernatural. It is what makes our lives miraculous. And he's restoring the word ministries, the preachers, the exhorters, and teachers, again in these last days, so that they can expound and teach on the word of God, and in many times in a prophetic way. In other words, speaking to the in the times that we're living now. This is why it is important that it says that we should hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not 10 years ago or 6 months ago, but what he's saying today. What he's saying now. Now, I'm giving all of this because I'm leading up to why I believe this verse is so important to really understand, so that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, one of the tests that one always sets in the church with the gifts that God is restoring, that when the word of God is preached under the anointing, so often it's simply a confirmation of what God is doing both corporately and individually. In other words, when we hear the word of God, so often it is speaking to us. Sometimes it can be speaking to us personally, or it can be speaking about a trial that I may be going through, or where I'm battling in certain areas of faith, whatever it will be. So often, the Holy Spirit confirms the Word of God. The same as when we read the Scriptures, it's a confirmation. Now, I cannot tell you how many times over the years that saints have come up to me and said, "You have just confirmed something that God spoke to me in the week." Or the Scriptures that you were using, I was reading those only this morning. I could go on and on and on with that. And you know, actually, when you are a preacher and teacher, it's actually a great help to you, because it encourages you that you are on the right line. You are hearing what God is saying. You are in tune. You are experiencing the unction, the anointing of the Spirit. And so often, this is a sermon. It's not actually as hard as it seems. Where Christians or where a church starts to fall into error and apostasy and doctrines of demons is when they're starting to chase for revelations, which so often sadly are. They're wanting a sensation. They're wanting something new. They're bored. They're fed up. That's often what's going on. And so they become a prime target to the enemy. And of course, there's much out there. We'll give you all of that and more if that's what you're looking for. And the other test that we find with the Word of God is that in the natural, nobody can keep it. Nobody can walk it. It's impossible. That's why Jesus said, "Narrow is the way, few there be that find it." So we find that it's not in our strength, in our ability or intellect. It's by the love grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where he gets all the glory. And he gets all the glory with regard to how faith comes. You can't muster up this faith. You can't work for this faith. You can't read the Bible 100 times through the year to get this faith. This faith comes by hearing. And it's how we hear. That is why I always refer so often to the parable of the sower, one of the greatest parables Jesus gave, because that is telling you clearly how you receive the seed of the Word of God. Even this meeting tonight and hearing this word is dependent on your heart. How your heart is before God and your brothers and your sisters, because your heart is very important to how we hear, and how the seed of the word is sown into our hearts, because that seed is vital in which to move mountains. Because Jesus said all you need is a mustard seed of faith, and it will move those mountains. Well, with that introduction, and we're calling this faith comes by hearing, reading, because we do read the Word of God, but we're primarily talking about tonight our hearing. So, it opens up, obviously, with faith. And in the context of what is being referred to here, so then faith comes, we've already up to it from verse 4, the gospel being preached, how will they know unless they hear? How can they respond to the word of God unless there's a preacher and a teacher? And how will they know unless that teacher is sent, anointed by the Holy Spirit? We've read it all to you there. So it opens up here with faith. And it means conviction of truth. That is what it reads. In the Greek, it means a conviction of truth. It also refers to man's relationship with God and divine things. So in other words, this revelation is divine, supernatural. The promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, are supernatural. And we need to hear those promises taught under the anointing. That is why I'm such a believer, and I always pray and believe that the signs follow the word of God, healing, deliverance, salvation. It is a complete and whole package. And that is what we should always come and expect: healing, deliverance, salvation to the whole man. That Greek word zozo. So here it is. It means a conviction of truth. It means it's a revelation. It's revealing God, the divine. It also reveals that it's a belief. In our case, it's a belief in Christianity. It's a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a belief in this word which we preach, which we adhere to, which we read, and so on. It is simply choosing to believe. We might not always understand everything, but in time the Holy Spirit, he will reveal. But our basis, our aim is I believe it. Now, you might not at that stage be fully be believing it, because the trials and tests will tell. But as far as you're concerned, with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've settled it. I've settled it to have that childlike faith. I'm not going to question. I'm not going to ask why. I simply choose to believe this word. Amen. And then God has something to build upon. But all the while, if you're questioning it, you're trying to understand it with the intellectual mind, it will always be a hindrance. Because our belief, our faith, includes many, many times God removing those hindrances to our faith. They don't automatically just go when we become a new creation. We are being perfected, and part of our perfection is the removal of those hindrances that hinder us from believing with that simple childlike faith. So that is why faith is a conviction of truth. It is revelation. It is revealing the divine, God, in other words, and what he has promised. But it's also this word, faith, is also the word persuasion. And that is often where the preacher and teacher comes. This is where the hearing comes, because it's persuading you. It is influencing you. It is encouraging you to believe and not give up. And you need to hear that. You see? So there's a lot in this with regard to this word faith. Let's look at some scriptures to back this up. Obviously, we know the one very, very well. We've all got it marked in our Bibles, Hebrews 11, verse 1, because this tells us what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance. The substance is the word. What you believe, asking God for. It is real. You just don't see it yet. Those things that you hope for, you believe for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, so often when we believe or when we ask or when we're reaching out to be healed by God, it's not always immediate. And there's a reason for that. Because God so often, in the delays of faith, is removing hindrances to our faith. But it's there. The moment you've asked, you have received in Jesus' name. And we make the mistake so often, don't we, that we continue to keep asking, which simply proves we didn't believe when we asked the first time. What in fact we should be doing is, yes, it's on its way. Yes, that money that I need to pay for that bill, yes, it's on its way. Yes, the healing that I need for my body, yes, it's on its way. Praise, thank you, Lord. That's what we should be praying. If indeed we have received by faith. And all the saints of old who were promised, who heard God, I'm thinking of Abraham, with the promise of his son. For all those years, he believed by faith. He saw his son in the realm of faith, waiting to be manifested at that right appointed time. That is the principle of faith and how God works with you and I. That is why Our whole Christian walk is a waiting on God. We wait on God because a lot of that waiting is waiting for the manifestation that what you're believing for. Now, of course, the enemy's out to try and rob you of that. The enemy's out to try and tell you, well, God didn't hear you. God isn't faithful. See, I showed you. See, I told you it wouldn't happen. Oh, we've all heard that one, haven't we? But you see, that simple childlike faith won't really listen to that. And very, very often when you take a step of faith, Satan becomes very vocal. And he tries to hinder you and trip you up. Well, I wonder why. You see, our faith walk and what we believe for is always illogical. It doesn't make any sense. It can't be. It's impossible. But that's nothing new to us. We are raised up above that. We're being raised up above what we see, what we feel, what we hear, what we touch, what we smell, and so on. We're raised up into the realm of God. This is why I said faith, this word faith means means man's relationship with God, the divine things of God. In other words, the word of God, the promises of God. It means we're raised up into his realm, into his level, above it. And that's what God is doing. He's getting you above all what the natural says that is impossible. That is why we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, let's look also to Luke 17 and verse 6. Luke 17 and verse 6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Here again, there are many, 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 many scriptures with regard to this word faith, so I'm just simply picking out just a few. But there it is again. If you have faith as a mustard seed, that's all he's asking, and that's a very, very small seed. But when planted, it grows into a very, very large shrub. Well, how about Luke 18? And verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? With a question mark. We'll have many ready believing. Well, about that is that you can put your name there and say, well, Lord, I don't know how many are, but I am, by your grace and mercy. Here again, we're using this word faith. Luke 22, 32. This is an encouraging one. Luke 22 and verse 32. And here, Jesus is predicting the disciples that they will deny him and Peter will deny him. Here it is in verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So Jesus has prayed. And listen to his confession, what he's saying there. His prayer, he believes, has been heard. He has prayed it. And it says, when you return. In other words, when you come back with your heart, your full heart. He already believes by faith what he has prayed. And remember that that is revealing Jesus' ministry that he's going to with the Father. Jesus prays that prayer over your life and my life, that our faith will fail not. If he doesn't pray that and believe that, none of us have a chance. So isn't it wonderful? There, he's praying, and that you will return. That is why you believe, brothers and sisters, against all odds. That is why you continue to believe when the enemy throws everything against your faith. Sometimes I ask myself, how is it I continue to keep with this or believe with what's going on? It's because Jesus is praying for us. Hallelujah. That our faith will fail not. So going back to our scripture, we then looked at the word faith. There's many, many scriptures on this, but it goes on, comes by hearing. So it comes by hearing. And this means that it comes out of us. This hearing means that it comes out of us as we speak, as we are led by the Holy Spirit, or it comes as the Holy Spirit anoints. In other words, it's oral, it's preaching, it's teaching. We hear by sounds. So this is the idea, the understanding of this hearing. Now, I said at the beginning that our hearts have to be right with God and each other in order to be able to hear properly. Many can hear, but the question is the seed of God's word being planted into the heart? Or is the heart hindered by worldly things, by idolatry, or by sin, or unbelief? But it's still hearing, the same as what we're doing now. So this is very important, this. And let's just appeal to some scriptures on this. Matthew 13, verse 14. Matthew 13 and verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. There is a very clear understanding of how faith comes, how we understand. Of course, he's appealing there to Israel. Israel who hardened their hearts. So we see exactly how faith is sown into the heart. Lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, they should understand with their minds, no, their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. In other words, turn away. They've got an active faith. They're turning away from sin and unbelief. There's a very clear analogy of Romans 10:17 about hearing. Let's also look at Acts 17. Acts 17 and verse 20. Acts 17 and verse 20. For you ministering to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. And of course, this is where Paul went to these philosophers in Athens, these certain Epicureans, these Stoics, these philosophers. But listen to what it is that they're saying here in verse 20. For you are bringing some strange thing to our ears. What you do with ears, you hear. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. In other words, there's seed to this. There's something they've not heard before, and they want to know. He has spoken to them. He's not opened books up and read to them. They've heard it by his preaching, his teaching, these Stoics. And finally, dealing with this here in Galatians 3 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, of course, the major problem with the church at Galatia was that they started in faith, in the Spirit, and were beginning to move into the flesh, arguing about circumcision and the things of the law and so on. They want to introduce them. So he raises a question here because it's in the context of justification by faith, not by works. And so he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What are you mixing? What are you listening to? What's going on, in other words, in your hearts? Are you hardening your hearts? Are you wanting to go back under the law? Because you go back under that, you go back under its curse. Because Jesus has dealt now with the curse. Or the hearing of faith. Faith is a higher knowledge. This is why the world can't understand it. They never will. Your receiving by faith, your hearing by faith, is a higher level. It's way above all the academics, all the professors, doctors. Your understanding, you're being taught the word of God by faith, is way, 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 way above it, because through this you receive God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that is hid to the world. This is why the world doesn't understand us. So there we are. We've shown several scriptures here with regard to this hearing. And this is why faith comes by hearing, because it's very important this to understand. And then, of course, it goes back. It comes by hearing, obviously, what? The word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is speech. It's a discourse. In other words, it's an utterance. That's what the word of God is. That's why it's good to speak it out. As Romans 10 tells us about confessing. Our faith is a confession. You can't be a Christian and not confess the word of God. And confess that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If you are born again, you are a new creation. The word of God that's now in your heart, you cannot help but speak it out. That is the nature of God's word. It is that two-edged sword. And so this is what the word means in the Greek. It means a speech. It's a discourse. It's an utterance. And rightly so, because unless we speak this out, how can faith how can we believe? What basis can we believe on? Now, the Word of God, at this point I want to say, is a pure and holy revelation. There is no blemish, there is no defilement, there is no sin, nothing attached to the Word of God. It is pure, it is holy, it is revelation, it's everything other than what the world and man can produce. This is from the Father's heart. And that is why we can release faith and believe in this. Whatever the circumstances, however it looks, however I feel, whatever it would be, I choose to believe this holy revelation of God. And it is. That is the word which we preach. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So there we are. This is our spiritual food. It is from the mouth of God. So why do we doubt it? Why do we question it? Why don't we allow the Holy Spirit to become our teacher? That is what he's come for. He's come for many things, but that's certainly one of his mysteries. He's come back to us through the Holy Spirit to teach us, to encourage us, to build us in the faith. That is why the Word of God is not simply some abstract word. The Word of God is about Jesus, the Son of God. It is alive. It is personal. It is about a being who lived and walked on this earth, who understood and went through exactly what we do. This is why this is so special. It's not God just in the heavens there, just giving out his word, now believe it. No, he divested himself. He took on human flesh to experience, to make the word real, reality to us. That is why this is so precious, brothers and sisters. And that's what he says here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you not realize that when we hear the word, when we come to meetings like this evening, when you open the word of God up, when you read the word of God, that is the mouth of God, his mouth, his speech, his heart speaking to you and me. That is why it's so precious. This is what makes it miraculous, a miracle. And that is why the world doesn't understand it. God is speaking to us far more than we realize. We're just not always listening. We still get so caught with the world, fears and anxieties and so on. Why does he speak to us? Because he loves us. He's our Heavenly Father. And if you have a father, which he is, then you're in dialogue with him. You talk, you share. You experience these things together. This is why he's always with us. Whatever we go through, whatever our trials, he's there with us in the midst. Nothing separates us from the love of God. We still make our faith too clinical, too religious. Can you not see that is God's heart, his word, his mouth speaking to you? Yes, I will provide your needs. Yes, I will pay those bills. Yes, I will heal your body. It just goes on and on. But we're still too clinical. We're still too religious. But he's trying to break that down. Let's look at John 6. John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. There we are. It is not only spirit, spiritual, but it is life. Now, we overlooked that one. We probably read that many, many, many times. But there are two main words that are very interesting in here. He said, the words, that is his word, I speak to you are spirit and life. That's the two main words there. So it is spiritual. And it comes by hearing. It comes by the Holy Spirit anointing his word to us who are now spiritual. We're a new creation. And life. It means not only eternal life, but it means whole mind, body, and spirit. It is his life imparted to you through the word that you hear. And there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no sin in him. And we are partaking of his life, brothers and sisters. And God is trying to get that from our heads to our hearts so that it becomes our experience. Not just theology or just reading it, but I'm entering into it. We have to enter into the experience of God's word. If the world is to see and to be convinced, then they have to see the word alive and not just a dead letter. A dead letter is those who profess Christ but don't really believe in those promises. And sadly, churches are filled with that. And finally, John 6 again and verse 68. But Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal. He didn't say to him, where should we go? You are the truth. We want to follow you, Jesus. No, he said, you have the words of eternal life. That was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. In other words, you're no doubt not only the living word, but your word is alive. We see it in action. And there's no finer way than seeing the word of God in action when we love one another unconditionally. We love our neighbors. We love the body of Christ. That is the Word in action. That is the world seeing the Word alive. Hallelujah. Well, just to sum up with this then, how important then is it for us to hear correctly? Well, it's very important. The Word of God has to be led, guided, and anointed by the Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit anoints the Word of God, He anoints it through the preacher. That is a sign of His approval. That is a sign He's with this. That is a sign He's blessing that word to His people. When you don't hear the anointing, the unction of the Spirit, that means there's something wrong. Because you can't hear then. That is the way we hear, by that unction, that anointing. And that is a clear sign the Holy Spirit is with this meeting. The Holy Spirit is with the people where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name. That is why I keep saying to you, come expecting, believing. Pray for these meetings. Please pray for me, for the Word, or any others who are teaching the Word. We're very dependent on you. We're all in this together. If we truly want to hear this pure word in these last days. So it's important how we hear, and we hear correctly. And it's to be an encouragement to believe. Because, you know, it's God's word. And you can't go any higher. You can't go to a higher authority with regard to the word of God. We are at the top. We are receiving the meat of the word of God. We can't go any higher. You can't, there's nobody else other than only God himself and his word, which we feed from. And there's no darkness, there's no lie in his word. His word is holy, his word is faithful, he cannot lie. You have assurance in his word. And you can, not only do you have the assurance, but it doesn't return to him void, empty. Whatever he speaks, whatever he says, goes forth and performs that for his glory. And I believe that tonight. I believe that with the word that he's encouraged us tonight. It has gone forth. It will not return void. It has gone forth with his blessing, the blood of Jesus, his word, to perform healing, deliverance, salvation over all of us. Amen. Amen. Father, again, you have proved your faithfulness. You have again helped us and encouraged us, Lord. You know the enemy can get so vocal. He's all the while trying to trip us up, trying to push us down, always trying to tell us that you're not faithful, God didn't hear, and so on. But Lord, you have raised us above that. We're with you seated in heavenly places. Father, help us to just lift those holy hands in your presence, and just start to praise and to worship you, and to thank you that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that all those who are believing, whether it's for healing in their body, or they're believing for the salvation of their loved ones, or they're in prayer or warfare, intercession, Father, you have already answered. We have already won the battle. because you have spoken the word. Father, may your word become reality, real. May it be an experience. May the world see your word, the fruit of your word, with our love for you and each other and for the body of Christ. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.